The following program is an abridged audio version of the streaming video talk show, A Wonderful Chaos. The hosts are Andy Chaliff and Bambos Dimitriou. The format is entirely casual, unscripted conversation. If you'd like to watch a live taping or participate with your comments in real time, subscribe to A Wonderful Chaos on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, or Twitch.
This whole job was about validation. It was a very addictive field for most of the customers. They went into this fantasy world where they could sing a song and they are the artist. And on this fantasy world where they are singing, they can also feel like they have this beautiful woman next to them and that's their girlfriend. And then for the girl side, we all felt like, oh, I'm so wanted. Here I am, number one hostess or number two. And how many guys just want to be with me? And, you know, like that was there. I cannot say that was not there.
It's a wonderful chaos. Beautifully random, messy and glorious.
Solo or tandem?
We work to find rest and fight to find peace. Both head and the heart.
Show.
Where the more that you learn is the less that you know. Where the wounded are healers
and the atheists pray.
It's a wonderful chaos and we like it that way. It's a wonderful chaos and we like it that way. It's a wonderful chaos and we like it that way.
Why is there a pen in your mouth when we're going live?
Good point. Just because I feel like we got a therapist on today, so I'm acting like a therapist. Lie down on the sofa, Bambos. Tell me how you're feeling right now. You need that, I believe. Today,
Mariana Koskani.
Mariana Koskani. Is that a correct pronunciation? We're going to see if she nods in the background. Nope. Striked out. We're going to talk to her about 6 years working at karaoke bars around the world. Where are we going to do that on, Bambos, Dimitriou, Charles?
Andy Chaliff, we're going to do it on A Wonderful Chaos.
Yes, we are.
I will never, ever get bored of this tune.
Me neither, except we have to discuss what we were discussing before we came on. And it's a very important discussion as far as I'm concerned. It's a discussion.
Look at my face. Like my body cringes.
I don't want your end of discussion. You are bad-mouthing the Foo Fighters, and that is just unacceptable. You can say...
I'm not bad-mouthing.
You're saying, why are you listening to that shit?
Physically... My body is cringing.
And all I'm telling you...
You're making it the all-time
They
band.
Got the rock anthem down. Like, they know how to pump you up. If I'm exhausted and I need that little bit extra energy, I turn on the Foo Fighters and it gets me through the hour drive or something like that.
So what you're telling me, it's grandpa music.
Why? Why would it grandpa music? Any music that takes you up to a place where we belong. I'll sing you some songs from the 70s if you like, if that makes you feel better. So... That's our struggle with one another is who's going to accept whose music.
Actually, you're on your own in this one. I just love poking you.
That's good. Mariana, we've had Mariana, and we're not going to say her last name because we don't want to mess it up over and
Koskani.
Over again.
Koskani.
Koskavi.
Koskavich.
No, isn't a vich in there. We're going to... Mariana is...
She's from Hungary.
She's from Hungary. She's been on this show in different shapes and forms, but we never had her on as an interviewee.
Yeah.
As a guest.
She's even had my seat.
She's been on your seat. She's been on one of the shows. Unfortunately, you weren't there, which was one of the most special to me, was with Serene Rowley. Rowley? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a beautiful,
and
beautiful
that
episode.
That was the show that she was on our show and she died a week later.
Yeah.
And she was so angelic and beautiful, being in her full strength, even knowing that she only had a week to live. That show just blows me away each time I listen to it.
If you guys haven't watched that, it like that show made me cry several times.
Yeah, that's an early show.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that I'd certainly suggest. But she's been on the sofa. We did a show right like when we were beginning, because when we began, we had the iPad. And we shoved the iPad in the helmet, in the moped helmet. And that's how we brought guests on. And when we were doing that, Mariana came in once, and we had her as in place of the
helmet.
Helmet sitting
in the middle.
Yeah, you know, when we go back to those old shows, we're certainly going to wonder what we were thinking. But
it was really unprofessional.
It was so much fun. I think people must have looked at us, thought we were just idiots. Not that they still don't do that. But Mariana, a few weeks back, when I go through this moment when I start to muddle through the muck of shows, because I like to book 3 months in advance, which is kind of absurd. We're already booked for 3 months, and I always want to hear things that really get me excited and interested. And the things that get me excited and interested are random things. So people would think, oh, it's going to be science. It's going to be about the environment or about whatever. But I get excited by really mundane things.
And finding the beauty in that also.
Yeah, and finding the beauty in it. And I think people watching the show must wonder to themselves, how the hell do we come up with these topics?
I can answer that question. Andy used to be Satan's little helper in marketing.
Yes, that's for sure.
He used to sell shit to people they didn't need.
Yes. Yes. Suits. 16 years old, I was selling suits to people.
And he got so good at that, his boss told him he can sell shoes to people with no legs.
No, that's not true. I was colorblind. I still am. And I would match the wrong color to the wrong suit because I could never tell what was going on.
Are you colorblind?
I'm red-green. I have a color deficiency, they call it. And how I learned it, you know how I learned it? Was that I was matching the tie to a suit, and I put the tie up against this guy. I said, this is the perfect tie. Can't you see these colors? And he says, those colors don't match. And I think a week later, I figured out that I was colorblind or deficient. So, yes.
Okay.
If it's a green or a red, they get a little bit fuzzy for me.
Shall we introduce Mariana?
We should. So Mariana shares with me that she has been doing the karaoke gig for 6 years in different countries, and my jaw kind of drops.
Hungary, Japan, Amstelveen, which is part of Amsterdam.
Yes. And when she says that to me, I start to I have to admit I've got prejudices towards this because I lived in Japan. They were shipped. So I also like to deal with my own baggage on the show. So I'm thinking I want to ask and be honest about all my prejudices around this and hear from her what it's really like and hear the gritty stories. So that's kind of what led me to bring her on, was to get the underground scoop on what this industry is all about.
Nice.
And, she, and this is to be added, not that this is her job. She left this quite a few years ago, but she is a certified therapist, which she doesn't talk about, but she helps people in relationships.
Couples.
So, couples. A couples therapist that's certified.
And she's actually pretty good at it.
Yes. Unlike me, who's uncertified and should be certified first in an insane asylum.
Can I segue?
Please go.
I had an idea for your new book.
What was that?
Listening to your Wounded Healer book for the 15th time.
Yeah.
I got curious as a follow-up to all the stories that you wrote in that, the woman that wanted to be a yoga teacher and you helped her, you supported her in finding peace.
Yeah.
I'm it would be so cool if you just interviewed everyone and wrote a third book.
Around how did
that moment in time support them or not?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've already talked to a lot of them about it. And I got into some trouble that I don't even want to discuss on air. But yes, that also happened. So in some ways, I'm kind of happy to put that book behind me because emotionally, it's still got some scars connected to it. But I think that happens with anything.
I think not everyone was happy being in the book.
Well, yeah. I think in some cases, I thought I was doing people a favor by sharing how much I love them in the book and putting their names in and asking them about what I thought to. And that didn't work out well. So that's hurt me for a few months, I have to admit. Wasn't what I intended, but that's life. Sometimes you make mistakes. I say we bring her on because now we've been discussing quite a bit. And I think we'll learn more from her as we have her on.
Mariana, what's your last name?
Hey.
Hello.
Tell us your last name.
Yeah, what's your last name, please?
My last name is Kochang.
Oh, we know this. We've made jokes about it all the time.
Kochang.
Because it was like money. Kochang, Kochang. That was what we said last time.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Yeah. Now that way you can remember maybe.
You know how I met this woman?
No, tell me. How did you?
I went with my ex-girlfriend and we did the singing class with her.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he come on to you like he does all the other women or not?
She made me walk around the room singing.
She had to think about it though.
He No, I mean, he was with his girlfriend, so he was just like trying to show her that he's totally in his comfort zone, that this doesn't really matter that he has to sing. And actually,
Did you
he did the
sing?
challenge very well.
She made me walk around the room, and I don't know what the song was, but I had to sing this
Oh
song
my God.
very
What a
loudly.
Wonderful World, maybe, or something like that.
Something like that. Something crazy.
I've gained a new respect for you, Bambos.
Thank you,
You
Andy.
went for it. You went fully for a sing in front of others. Wow.
Yeah.
In the end, I said that if you want, anyone can just sing it by themselves. And Bambos was the first one who said, fuck it, I will do it. Right?
I don't think I think you forced me.
No, I don't think so, Bambos. I think
I
he
think
just
you
did
would
it by
regret it
himself.
if you asked me to do that. If she asked me to sing, you would really regret it. You'd say, Andy, all
Sit
my
down.
friends say, thank you for that effort. Now we'll continue with what else we were doing before that.
Let's see. Maybe one day.
Now you know I've got deep prejudices towards.
Yes.
I have deep prejudices from many years back. It's been soured into me. And I think it came because I lived in Japan for those years. And when I lived in Japan, there was always this really weird like line with the hostesses. And I think from that experience, then I just got this.
Can you clarify?
I'd like to, but some of the people may be watching. So I can go into some things, but I can't be too specific. I had a dear friend whose husband went to the hostess, went to the karaoke and the hostess bars. And then he got into a relationship with one of the hostesses, which was kind of expected. It's understood that that kind of happened there. This is a village in this place I lived. And then that woman came to the place that they worked and asked for a job because the husband said that he could get her work. So you could imagine the triangle of confusion that was created from this.
This is a typical story.
It's a typical story.
So our first question. So our first question, did you get yourself into trouble?
Yes, did you get yourself into trouble? No, I'd rather ask how many times did you get yourself into trouble? We're going for the assumption that there's a few.
I've been several times like thinking, okay, so that this is the borderline of that if I just go one step more further into, then it's gonna be a trouble.
Wow.
And I don't think I don't know. I saw a lot of trouble around me, and I don't know what should I call trouble and like how to I define it, but for sure it was a lot of
Did his wife find out is more the
trouble.
trouble?
No, I didn't personally have any of these kind of things. I didn't have a relationship with any of the clients or customers who came to the karaoke, but this happens sometimes. But yeah,
But
so where
when
should I
they,
start?
okay, well, first of all, I want a quiet poll, right? Anyone watching can answer, you and I answer. Of the three countries you worked in, Hungary, Japan, and Amstelveen, and you don't answer immediately, which one caused the most trouble? In which, but give us a moment. Everyone's got to come to a, just take some time to think about it. Bumbos, do you have your answer ready? I've already got my answer
I've got an
ready.
answer ready.
And let me just see, do you have your answer ready yet or no?
In my life or in other people's
No, no,
life?
no.
Or
In one
like
of the three countries.
while you were there, which one do you say there was the most trouble there?
But I think Japan was the
Okay.
most
The most
troublesome.
trouble. So
I
I
mean,
had
in
Japan. What did
the
you have,
most,
Bambas? Oh, yeah, I had it as well.
yeah.
Okay.
So like let's say I started in the whole thing in Hungary, and there this was a hostess job. So it was also advertised as a hostess job. So I went there to the interview. It was 8 o'clock in the evening. So that was weird.
Slow us down a little bit for a moment.
Yeah.
When you look like it, you look in the newspaper, and what does the newspaper ad say?
We are looking for hostesses, good looking, smart people who are girls who are sophisticated and something like that for events. Oh yeah,
For
that was the
events.
thing
Okay.
for events. Yeah, and
Okay.
then I went there. Now this was not that this was a club. It was a very fancy, very very beautifully laid out club or bar
in Hungary,
but it was like completely hidden, so you would never see it. If you just walk around, you don't see it. Nobody knows that it's there. Only the people, like only the Japanese community knows about it. So as a Hungarian, you would never even walk in, because there's just this one black door, and you have to open the door, and then there is one more door. So it's like super hidden secret. So
this is what I'm thinking. The image you're portraying is exactly what I have in my mind. Okay.
So I went there. I had an interview with a very smart, beautiful looking elderly woman. And she's telling me, you know, you have to speak English very well. And, you know, and all those kind of things, and like telling me all the requirements, and also, you know, about my lifestyle and all those kind of things. If I like singing, because it's a karaoke bar, so sometimes people like singing here, and if I'm okay with that too. So this kind of, and my first vision was like, oh my God, what is this place? What am I getting into? And then I talked to this very sophisticated, beautiful woman, and I feel super safe. So then I'm like, okay, that's okay. And I was like, okay, I cannot lose much. I just have to try. How does this look like? So this is how it started. And
just to stay with that interview for 1 minute, was there anything that she gave to say, you'll have to deal with difficult men, or there's going to be men groping you and you have to be prepared for that? Did she give you any sort of like fear mongering of what could happen?
She told me about it, that this bar is like, she told me that, of course, there are men, and that most of the customers are men. Uh-huh. But she really clarified it, that there is no touching. It's not allowed.
Okay.
Nothing sexual is allowed. We are not allowed to meet with the customers outside of the club. And all those kind of things. So she was really like saying that these are very strict rules. And actually, that's the thing, that in Hungary, that was true. So in Hungary, and that's why I say that it caused less problem, that in that sense, that there were like clear rules that we should, it was not allowed to meet with people. Mm. It was not allowed to have a relationship with the customers.
Got it.
And all those kind of things. And also the customers had to behave nicely with the other hostesses. They were not allowed to touch us or to do any kind of like bad manner or anything. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. But in Japan, when I went there, I didn't know about it. But in Japan, there were no rules like this.
Oh, no.
So there was this woman called Mama-san. Mama-san is the owner of the place usually. And she was not only not...
Badass.
She was a badass woman, for sure. she was telling all the girls, hey, you don't have enough makeup on your face. How do you look like? How do you look like? Look at her. Look at her. She's much better. Look at her. Like, she was like very straightforward and... Oh. Crazy. Mm. Now, she was not only not like, there was no rule about that if we should or can meet with the customers, but also she was kind of pushing us, like, you should go and have a dinner after you finish work. You should go and have a dinner with, or dinner, well, that was 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, you should go on and have some food with this client.
Mariana, were you singing at this time in your life? Were you a singer?
Yeah.
Oh, no. When I started, not yet. So,
so this is how,
that's
this
how
was your...
I started.
Okay.
Yeah. This is how I started to sing, actually. Wow. So this was a blessing in a sense that I was not aware that I can sing or I could be a singer. But when I started to work in the karaoke in Hungary.
She's really good, huh?
Yeah, she's exceptional.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's where the clients, the customers start to say, like, oh my God, you have such an amazing voice. You should, but they said it to everyone, of course. Yeah. But I somehow took it seriously, and I thought maybe I should take lessons and do something with it. And
you know,
that's
that
how
was,
it started.
That was one thing, just to sort of side, you know, we've had a few shows discussing Japan and that because I lived there a few years and I really am fond of it. And one of the qualities that I really found incredible in Japan, really incredible, unlike anywhere, is the encouragement to just go out and do things like karaoke, or in my case, the saxophone. So you'd play and you would be horrible, but everybody would support you. They would cheer you on. And I'd never been in a cult. Like if someone was singing really bad and then someone at a table made a snide remark, that's unheard of in Japan. You would never make fun of somebody for anything. Like that, they just, they're trying and they're doing their best. And that quality is something that I sorely miss in other cultures.
Can you share the story of you in Austria where your neighbor said?
No, that was in Austria. That was in, that was in the US. Oh. Yeah, the exact opposite. I'm learning how to play the saxophone and I suck. And the woman next door doesn't realize that I'm learning. She thinks that I'm a music major because her roommate's a music major and we're friends. So the assumption is, oh, they must be. So I got on the bus. She sees the saxophone and she said, did you hear the horrible saxophone player in the neighborhood? And I know she's talking about me, but I don't say it. So I just said, no, what does he do? And then she describes everything I do. He plays the chords. He doesn't know how. And he plays Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Could you kill a song more? I could never listen to that song again. He's so bad.
Oh, my God.
He goes off and off. And I keep asking more questions because I'm having so much fun. And then when we get off the bus, I say, I got to be honest with you. The person you're describing that whole time is me. And like she didn't laugh. She didn't have any fun. So I couldn't visit their house anymore because she was so angry that I let it go that far.
I love it.
Yeah,
but, I love it.
But the quality was that if I didn't allow myself to suck, I would never have learned. And I had to enjoy that process. And I think that's part of life is just accepting it.
What you're telling us now is that you've learned and you can play the saxophone.
I mean, I've got a saxophone downstairs. I'll try to play Somewhere Over the Rainbow for you, but you'll cry. Not for the right reasons.
the next show is going to be.
The point being is that's a quality, as you described it back. I found that to be one of the most beautiful qualities that in that culture. Yeah,
so that's true. The Japanese are very, very supportive in that sense, and they would never say like something is wrong or something like you suck. That you would never show any slightest feedback like that. And there was even in our job description that we had to clap all the time. So within the song, but also when the song ends, not just the song ends, but when the chorus is ending. So then when there is an instrumental in between, we have to cheer. So it was very funny because it was embedded in my blood for so long that whenever I went out and had some music somewhere, I was clapping also in between. But that was different. All of the girls were like that. Like we were just wired to do this all the time.
Automatic.
Yeah.
Well, you're never going to trust you again. I'm getting this this thing. Like you were in Hungary. You kind of joined this club, which actually, I sometimes hear stories that there's clubs which actually kidnap women and put them into sex slaves, right?
Yeah.
Human slavery. And it's somehow it just feels that you just took a risk, you trusted. And listen, you're in Japan, you trusted, and then you came to Holland. And it feels like you really left a life. So what... Like, I want to kind of go a little bit back. What was your life before this?
In Budapest, when I moved to Budapest, I just really wanted to discover the city and just start my independent life. And that's the thing that I think motivated me to do this, because I was working as a hostess, but, you know, the supermarket hostesses who just give tasting for people and like I didn't earn much with it. But I really, for some reason, like being financially independent from my parents, from my family was very important for me. And I think it's because I just really felt like that that means that I'm also fully responsible. So they cannot really tell me what I should do or what I shouldn't do. And I felt that I want to have that responsibility for myself. So when I saw this opportunity, basically it's funny because I came across with it first in an indirect way, because there were several bars, like several karaoke bars like this. There was another one, and some, not friend of mine, but someone in the college that I used to sleep at, she was saying like, hey, like I work there. And she was telling me the job description, like there, these, that was a Korean one. That was a Korean bar. And she said, well, I just have to be pretty and I just have to talk to them. There's nothing else happening. And I get always this and this amount of money and da da da. So she was explaining me the job description. And I was like, you know, maybe just for a year, I wouldn't mind to do such thing, such a job, because then I can earn a lot of money and I feel very, you know, independent and there is no sex involved. So that's okay. Right. So, yeah. And then I didn't find that job. I didn't know where she was working and I'm not, but then totally randomly, I bumped into this other one, which was actually a much better or higher class of place. Actually, later on, I figured it out. And somehow, because I had this girl who told me about it and she was feeling very safe and she didn't say that anything bad happened there to her, that gave me a little bit of like a security or safety.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can imagine. Actually, it's true that looking back, I was very courageous to do that. I didn't feel like I'm running away from something, but I was definitely wanting, I really wanted this independent feeling. And that was motivating me a lot. And I thought it's going to be just a short term thing.
So. Yeah. Did you tell your parents you were going to do this?
Yeah.
And they, did they have any anxiety or reservations about this? Did they say, did they have any thoughts on it?
Of course, they really wanted to know if it's it's true that there is no sexual things involved and if it's safe. And but somehow, I don't know, they trusted me always so much that if I said something like, I think this is a very safe place, trust me, da da da, then somehow they always trusted me.
That's beautiful.
So that's really, really important for me indeed that they could do that.
Because I on our journey together, I also feel that I have that feeling with you too. I trust you. And we know each other now for 3 years. Wow.
Yeah.
3 years.
At least.
And I didn't know this about you. So I'm sitting here completely like blown away.
Is there any time you didn't discuss that you had this past behind you because you had any feelings like maybe I'll be judged for it?
Difficult. I don't think so. I mean, maybe with some type of people. Maybe with some people I didn't feel really okay to talk about it. But I remember even on the university, I had some girls and friends there who I was, they asked me, what do I do? And then I told them about this job. And actually many of them, two other psychologists, came to do the same job. Because they liked the idea. And of course, I think most hostesses who work there always imagine this as just like doing it for a year or maximum two.
Yeah,
they never thought about it as a long-term thing, but because of the salary was really high and the job was very easy to do, that's true. So it was a lot of times it's just full entertainment, clapping, drinking alcohol. So this is like,
but I mean, did you actually drink alcohol with the clients there?
Yeah. Yeah, they and could, we were sitting at
drinks.
The same table.
They could buy you drinks.
Well, so the system is different in Japan, and it was different in Hungary. And in Hungary, it was a very interesting system where there was a hourly based system. So the customers paid per hour, and they could drink as much as they wanted, and the hostesses could drink as much as they wanted. But of course, it was expensive. So that was one thing. And I think what is important to mention, because otherwise it's not understandable why there is a shame or why can it be shameful or why there is maybe judgment. is because the customers also could choose which hostess they want to spend time with. So there was a screen where we had our photos on, and they could choose like, oh, I wanna sit tonight with Mariana, or I wanna sit tonight with someone else, you know. And there was a list. So there was a competition going on, or some kind of competition going on between the girls. Well, I think some girls were more competitive than the others, but there was a list of who's the number one hostess, who's requested more. And the customers had to pay more if they requested someone. So the money that they paid for the request, it's called request.
Yeah.
That was my salary. So the more I was requested or asked by the customer, the more money I earned, basically.
Wow, this is fascinating. This is like a what do you call it? You'd almost want to film this for a reality TV show, because you're telling me all of the women are now competing to say, how can I get the people most interested in me? And by getting repeat business over and over again, you're bumped up on this thing.
So the question is, what did you do?
Yeah.
To get yourself...
Given that you can't touch them and you can't have sex with them. So those are the two criteria. So what does a woman do to get on the top of that list?
What did you do?
That's a very good question. Well, I think the number one thing I did from the day one, I was observing those girls who were number ones, number two. Like I was just looking at that, what happens in the dynamic, what do those women do that make the customers want their presence, basically. And of course there were so many differences about this, like from the moment on that, yes, there were customers obviously who fell in love with the girl, you know, just like, so they came almost every night or every second night just to be able to sit with that girl and for 3 hours or four, drinking nothing, just wanting to be in the presence of that girl. So that was also one reason of why. But that's one of the reasons.
That sounds like it could get ugly as well. Like that could turn into something really nasty, I could imagine.
Yeah. Well, it was sometimes, because you can imagine that some customers, and it was happening also with me, I cannot really say to them that, hey, like, this is nothing, like nothing is between us. But I also don't want to say like, I don't say, yeah, I love you too, or something like that. So there is this kind of weird dynamic where I'm kind of like not really saying anything. So I'm just like avoiding to actually give him a yes or no answer if this is it.
Yeah.
But that creates this kind of fantasy world where they can feel that this is a relationship. So what your friend did, I don't know how it was for him, but for many customers who I met in Japan or in Hungary, or I saw with them with other girls, for them this was a relationship. For me it was work, you know.
Wow, that
sounds brutal.
That is really incredible.
Brutal. Yeah. Tell me, what was the worst situation you encountered in this area? Like, what was the worst? Like, Andy, this was bad.
Go, Andy.
I see a damn Fatal Attraction movie ahead of me. Like, I see an infatuated man showing up at the doorstep when you leave, like kind of stalking you. Like, that's where I see this going. So that's what I'm kind of trying to sense. How far did it go? Yeah. You're like, oh,
there was for me one client who, like, one customer, I wouldn't call it client, customer who was really started to feel like this is a deep connection. And I think we had a very, very good connection with terms of like, we could talk about a lot of interesting things. Somehow that went too deep for him. So with him, it was a little bit sometimes threatening. I felt sometimes that maybe he knows where I live, because so that's a thing that's also something that I did maybe wrong, because with him, I felt like, oh, well, let's meet him outside of the rules, like just for a dinner.
Yeah.
And I did, because in that way, I felt like he would also trust me more, that this is not just, you know, not just the karaoke world. And that was really a big mislead from my side, because then he really felt that, oh, maybe he has a chance.
Mm. Marianne, how old were you here?
I think I was 22, 21.
Yeah.
21.
So I'm going to make an assumption that you going out for dinner with him outside of the rules was also a part of you in those times that you needed something from him, but it wasn't made explicit, like some kind of validation or.
Oh yeah, this whole job was about validation. Mm. So just as it was, how can I say? It was a very addictive field for most of the client, for the customers. They went into this fantasy world where they could sing a song and they are the artists, or you know what I mean? That already the karaoke is a fantasy world. And on this fantasy world where they are singing, they can also feel like they have this beautiful woman next to them, and that's their girlfriend, right? Or some of, you know, so there was this. And then for the girl's side, we all felt like, oh, I'm so wanted. Here I am, number one hostess or number two. And how many guys just want to be with me? And, you know, like that was there. I cannot say that was not there.
So how high did you manage to rate?
At one period I was number one, but also sometimes it's number three, number four. Depends on the period. Towards the end, I didn't care at all anymore where I was. I really didn't mind anymore. There was no competition in me in the end.
Mm. During this time, Marianne, were you ever in a relationship? And how did this journey impact your relationship?
Yeah, most of the time I wasn't in a relationship, because just as it is damaging for the customers to be there all the time and to feel addicted to it, and it creates this kind of wonderland, it is also damaging, or it was damaging for me, at least, because I felt like, oh, of course, the Japanese guys all want to, you know, talk to me, or they may fall in love with me or feel attraction towards me. But normal guys would never do that. So when I was in the club, let's say, I felt like I am the princess.
Yeah.
But when I was outside of the club, whenever I felt attraction towards a man, I always felt like, oh, but this guy would probably never look at me, you know? So it was damaging for my self-esteem. I didn't notice it. It just creeped in little by little, that even though it felt like that it's good for my self-esteem, actually it was the opposite. Yeah.
Did any of your clients offer you money for sex?
So this guy, specifically the one that really fell for me, at one point he just gave me an offer. And that was the line that I was just mentioning before. It was a lot of money. And
can we ask how much?
I'm just thinking about it. That how much is it in euro? 8,000 euro or something?
8,000 euros.
You turned down 8,000 euros?
8,000 euros.
Yeah, something like
that. For a 22-year-old, wow.
Wow.
Wow, this is really like toxic masculine, toxic feminine.
8,000. I'm still stuck on the number. Is there a number you might have said yes to? If he said 50, if he said, I'll give you 50 grand, which you've considered.
I have no idea. This is the thing that I have to be really honest. Like even this number made me feel like, okay, well, I just close my eyes. I just pretend nothing happened.
Yeah.
But then I felt like, no. Because if I once do it and get this money, then how will I never do it again?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
you know, I was
slow.
Thinking, this is like one step, I do it, then this is no way back.
So you were not
money.
Completely naive, right?
Yeah, no.
Like no, you, so you, I turned it off, of course. But
you had your wits about you.
We have had some comments from wonderful Bulelang, our regular. A pleasure listening to you, Marianna.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
And you just have to be good at flirting without committing. And yes, you made that comment
early on
about a skill set.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had many customers who just loved singing together, and they didn't really have romantic feelings for me. Or some of them had fallen in love with someone else, but they needed some emotional support and wanted to figure out themselves. So I was the second favorite. So when the other person was not there, then they could talk to me and they were like explaining to me what they're going on. And that was interesting because I was not really there as they fall in love with me, but they were like trying to figure out why this place is and what is this about and their feelings.
Like, you were practicing to become a therapist, like Bambo says.
I think a lot of things that I did there was actually psychology. With those customers, I still have good relationship.
You still have contact with them?
Mutual respect. Sometimes. I mean, when I went to Japan, then I emailed everyone and then I met them. And it was amazing to see them all. And there was a mutual respect that was wonderful.
What kind of men, if you would are you able to profile the kind of man that goes to this place? Because would it be the same kind of man that would, for example, go to a prostitute?
These karaoke places are also the place for business. So a lot of people, just Japanese people who work in the same place, they just go there with the company and they're just having fun. So there were customers who didn't really care about the hostesses much. They just wanted a good company. So they chose their hostesses also based on how entertaining they are and who is a good singer or, you know, so based on that. But then there were usually the younger generation or the ones who maybe were still single or the ones who were younger, but sometimes also married. So depends. But there were some of them who were also secretly looking for some kind of emotional entanglement, let's say. But it was not always the case. So many customers there were looking for singing, for instance. Some of them came alone, but the whole night they were just singing and practicing the songs together with me or another hostess.
I love that.
It was not love for them, you know? Yeah.
How much in the Hungary was it per hour? 50 euro per hour. And does that include you in that, like just the hostess or?
No, that was just the drinks, I think.
Okay.
But if you don't request, then you still get a hostess, but then it's a random girl.
It's a random girl. Got it. Okay.
But you still get a hostess regardless. Yeah.
Regardless. You always have a hostess. Okay.
And the hostess still gets paid.
The hostess still gets paid, but less. So there was an hourly base salary, which we got even if we were just in the waiting room.
Okay. Oh, and so then, you won't even be visible unless they pick you from one of these pictures.
unless they see us at another table.
Has it ever happened to you that you are in the back the whole night, you haven't been picked?
Yeah, of course.
And how does that feel?
Ooh, that felt very heavy. Depends, because when in the beginning of, I think it also depends. Like if for instance, it can happen that a customer already chosen, I was the favorite, and at one point they get mad, or at one point they fall in love with someone else, and then you get replaced. And when that happens and nobody requested you because everyone expected that other guy will, and then eventually they don't, and you end up in the waiting room alone, everyone else is working, that's not nice. That's not nice.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
And you can't go on the stage and just do karaoke then.
No.
I've got an interesting one. I've been dying to ask this question. You've got a relationship with one man who comes in regularly. Now, somebody else asked to be with you, and then the person who's come to be with you can't because you're with somebody else. How is that dynamic?
So, yeah, it is difficult because in Hungary, then they had to wait until until the other customer went home. So therefore, sometimes what happens is that then the customer who is waiting, they may request another hostess who is my best friend. So they still want to know me more. So they will request my best friend and talking about me.
Talk about stalking.
Yeah.
But that's something. So waiting was one thing.
Yeah.
But in Japan, it's a very interesting system because in Japan, it's possible that a hostess is being requested from many different customers. And then I get the same extra salary, but for 15 minutes I sit in this table and for the other 15 his table and the other 15. So I'm rotating between all of them. And they still have to pay the same amount of money for that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was very interesting. That was only happening in Japan. Yeah.
Was that uncomfortable because someone's paying to be with you? Like, sorry, it's 50. Your time's up. I've got to go to the other one now. Is that like, was that uncomfortable at all?
Were you good with timing? Because
look at, she is blushing now.
were you good with timing? Because I know that you're not very time conscious.
The boss. Then they come to the table and they say, "I'm sorry, but she has to go."
Did she track that, or did you have to track that? Would Mama-san say,
"No,
oh.
no, no"? They tracked it for me.
Oh, nice.
I didn't have to think about it. Yeah,
that's good.
So that's a good thing that I didn't have to.
I'm curious now because I know you also as a singer.
Mm.
So when you left, like, did you get into singing when you left this world and you had like a gap? You're like, oh wow, I miss singing, or like how did that happen?
No, I was, there was a moment when I quit there for a year or something because it was too much.
In Hungary, I also
I was a bit heartbroken because, yeah, by the way, there were waiters around. So there were the customers and there were the waiters. Now, the waiters were Hungarian guys, usually good looking. So most of the hostesses were like hating the Japanese customers, but had a little fling or some crush on one of the waiters. So that happened with me too. So then I was like, okay, I had to just refresh myself because I was a bit heartbroken from that. And I just stopped working there completely. And I thought I won't go back anymore. But then when I stopped for that year, then I started to just look for a singing teacher. I went to classes and then I started to work with someone, a musician, and that's where the picture is coming from. I saw that there was a picture on the event, and my first performance was with that musician around that time.
That's nice.
So I started singing in between.
Did you finish your education while you were doing the karaoke work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what precipitated you then going to Japan?
Yeah, so the thing was that I stopped the university and then I tried to look for a normal job, not the karaoke world anymore, but that just didn't come along. And then that time I was still working in the Hungarian club, and then there was an other hostess who was in Japan.
Okay.
She knew us and she knew me, and she just sent me a message like, "Hey, do you think that anyone in your current from your current colleagues want to come to Japan? Because there is some karaoke bars here too." And I said, "Well, I want to go." And then I also asked several girls, and two of them wanted to come. So then we went. Yeah,
fascinating.
I've noticed we haven't spoken about Amstel Vane.
I know. I kind of.
Yeah.
I know why I haven't asked questions there. And I'm wondering if you're the same reason why you haven't.
It's fucking boring.
It's so boring. Like, what are you going to do in Amstel Vane? Like, you know, like, can you enlighten us? Was there anything dramatic that happened there? And if not, we'll skip over the subject immediately.
What was
interesting is that I was the karaoke owner in Amstel Vane. So that was interesting. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Continue.
You were Mama-san.
So, yeah, I was the Mama-san. Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting because, yeah, so basically eventually that waiter who I fell in love with became the owner of the Hungarian club.
Okay.
That time I went back again to work, and then at one point we became a couple. And then I went to Japan, regardless that we had a relationship, because I still wanted to go. And then when I came back, our relationship didn't really work anymore, but we felt like I found this place in Amsterdam. I found it on the internet that it's possible that there is a business on sale. And I said, well, I earned some money now in Japan and you have already a club. Don't you want another one? And from that idea, basically, together, we put our savings together and we bought this karaoke bar in Amsterdam.
That's insane.
How I came to Amsterdam.
How do we describe Amstelveen to those? Because we have a lot of viewers.
You know what? Amstelveen, I drove there once with Ronnie on the moped. We went out there and there was a shopping mall.
Yeah.
And we walked through the shopping mall and she looked at me and she says, it feels like I'm in Asia. And then I realized that's where all the Japanese people live. But I only figured that out afterwards.
That's where the club was. That's where the karaoke bar is.
In that shopping mall.
Is it
still there?
The shopping mall's still there, but
it is, but I think like the owner, my ex, he sold it to someone. I'm not sure that since then it is still there. But okay. I think so. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's really an endeavor you took on your shoulders to do that.
Yeah. I was 24.
Yeah.
And how old are you now?
That. I'm 32.
32. Mm.
I want to know about drugs. Were there drugs around? And if so,
Jesus, Andy.
I need to know all these things, Bambos. These are guns.
No.
Were there guns? Did you see guns
no.
brought into it?
No guns, no drugs.
Yeah, it was the Yakuza.
Just alcohol.
The Yakuza didn't come in and have like a whole thing in there or anything?
Oh, Yakuzas are like, they are not really cool. Like they usually don't have money. And they are young people with tattoos and doing some crimes, but they usually couldn't afford these kind of places in Japan.
Yeah.
So, I didn't really meet any of those. But the whole thing in Japan, the fact that we went there as tourists and worked there, that was completely illegal.
Sure.
So, in that sense, the guy who was doing the... how can I say, the whole looking for hostesses and the whole researcher trying to find some Hungarian or other Russian girls. He did a very illegal job.
Yeah.
Did you feel welcome in Japan?
That's a very long story. I mean, in the workplace?
Yeah.
Yes, because it was like a European bar, so all of the hostesses were European, so it was like very welcome, but there were some very difficult people. Even there in the karaoke, I remember there was one customer who just came in order to hurt the hostesses. So he just had this idea that he comes in, he sits down with you, and then he says all the rude things so that he can say that, what do you do here? Why are you in this country? You shouldn't be here. You're stupid. You don't even speak Japanese. And that was his thing. So so there was one person from all the other. But
I thought you said Japanese people don't insult you.
Well, I mean, not in public, but specifically, I can't attest to all of them.
This has been like an incredible show for me. Like, I
feel like I've gone on a full journey on this show. This has been
This has been our most viewed or second viewed show this week.
Yeah, it's this topic. I think sometimes I put a topic out and I have no clue if we're going to get to an hour. I just know I'm curious enough to ask questions. That's what I know. And I still have more questions that I haven't even asked yet, and I can't.
Oh my god! Yeah, I could talk so much about this.
Well, I have a question. A lot of people won't know this, but at bars in Japan, there's a fascinating thing. I assume it still exists. You go into a bar and you buy a bottle of whiskey.
Okay.
You buy a full bottle of whiskey, and then they put it with your name on it in the bar, and it stays there. So when you come into the bar, they take your bottle of whiskey and they bring it to your table, and you drink your own bottle. You drink your own bottle of whiskey.
So if you don't drink whiskey, then,
well, you drink whiskey and that's your bottle of whiskey, and then they put it back to when you leave with your name on it. So you have hundreds of bottles of whiskey on the wall with your specific bottle. You say, I want my bottle of whiskey, and they bring it to your
and
table.
They have a system.
They have a system. Buy the bottle. The bottle is $200.
Yeah. Alphabetical order, I mean. Like,
what'd you say?
How does it work? How,
if so, they, think about it. All these whiskey
they
store it there. So
they store it. So you come in, they see you. Oh, Bambos. Oh, here is your bottle. Come sit down. And then they serve the table with your bottle.
I don't drink alcohol. I only drink organic water.
Yes.
Yeah, that was difficult when it was very unusual that someone was not drinking alcohol. But
wow.
Yeah, but so when you sit down, there is the idea that the customer can drink as much as they want in Hungary. I'm sure they drank their own bottles, I guess, in Japan, or they paid for it. And you could also drink while you were there.
Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, so by the way, I didn't even talk about it at all, but there were so many rituals around this that we as hostesses, we had to know everything. A lot of rules, like how do we sit down? What is the posture? Giving that towel, the oshibori, to the customers. Show, whenever I give something or get something, it's two hands.
Two hands.
How do I prepare the whiskey with the water, how much whiskey, how much ice, everything. Like there were lots of rules about this. And I think a lot of the success of hostesses was also about that. Like if you were very good with these rules, then the customers really appreciated that. I could talk so much about
it. But would you mix drinks for yourself as well when you were with a customer, or how would that go?
Yeah, in Japan, it was more like I could order my own and then they had to pay for it, whatever I ordered. But if it was champagne or wine, then I drank together with them. And that's what costs extra money. And I got extra money if they ordered a wine or champagne.
Yeah.
But then I also had to drink it, because the more I drank it, the more they order. And that was really not good.
Yeah, that was the question I had. Like, are you consuming a lot of alcohol every evening when you're working?
Yeah, I did. But also not just because I had to be honest, because it was possible to skip it. Uh-huh. Also in Japan, it was possible to act like that I drink alcohol, but actually the drink that is prepared for me is non-alcoholic. So it was possible to do that. And it was also possible to do some little tricks and trips, how to get the champagne glass out and like act like I already drank it. But in Hungary, I didn't have to drink alcohol if I didn't want to.
Oh, wow. Oh.
But it was just like most of the time, it was hard to be entertaining without having some kind of alcohol in your system. So it's also part of the thing.
I have the same trouble.
So Mariana's parents, are you proud of her?
Yes. I am so grateful that you came on.
Yes.
I am so grateful. I have to tell you, like, it's shows like these that I'm scared before we start, because I'm like, we've got an hour. She might say, yeah, it was nice. And then I'm like, oh, God, this doesn't have as interesting as I thought it was going to be. So I don't know if we're going to have a really fun talk, but this was the coolest.
And yet.
Yes.
If you were boring, we'd probably make something up.
Oh, we would, of course.
Yeah, for sure. I know that.
Byron Emerson, I don't know if you know him. He says, Mariana, you're awesome.
Ka-ching.
Yeah, I know him. Byron is also awesome.
And Bulelang says, we do that in South Africa too with whiskey.
They buy the bottles and they store them for the clients, so when they come back. Thank you.
Sweetie, we've come to the end of our show.
It's so great to be with you. I love your rosy cheeks. I'm happy that we could get your blood circulating through the stupid questions we asked. So we'll see you next time. We'll find another idea for a show. Just tell me something else random you've done in your life.
We can do okay. Couple therapy.
Yeah.
Talk about I have plenty couples. Of exciting topics, but I cannot assure you that it's going to be more exciting than this. But
we'll make it exciting. Okay. Right. Thank you. Yeah.
Adios, Mariana.
Okay. Good to be with you. Bye.
It's a wonderful chaos.